Okay, who would like to have the first hymn? How about you, young man? Do you have one? What song should we sing? Try this in the back here. Do you know, can you read? You pick a number. Well, let's sing together number 41. Would that be okay? Good. Number 41. How come camels are mentioned 18 times in Genesis chapter 24? At least 18, 17 maybe. Do you have a song you'd like to sing? Go ahead. You can, anybody can choose.
Four.
Number four. All right, see what number four is.
Christ is the Savior of
my
talking this morning about some animals. I remember I had a dog, it was a Sheltie, and we had a beagle, and had him at the house at the same time. The Sheltie always wanted to do what I wanted him to do, but the beagle never did what I wanted him to do. Now, which dog do you think I liked the best? Huh? The good one, right? Well, you know, as children, we're appreciated more when we behave and when we do what we're told and instructed to do. And God loves a person, that child that obeys. You know, 4 days ago, I had a very sad thing happen. A young man came to the business, and he expected his mother to be there. He's 18 years old. He expected his mother to be there at the business at the same time because he crashed his car. And this young man, he cursed his mother terribly. Oh, it made me so sad. And his mother was crying. And he cursed her again, and he said bad, bad words. And I looked it up in the Bible, and you know what it says? It says someone that curses his father and mother should be put to death. Wow. Another man, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't talk about sad stories, but another man, his name was John D. Rolet. And we fixed his car, and he called his mother on the phone in view of getting a payment. And I heard him curse his mom terribly. I thought, what is going on? And so about 2 weeks later, John D. Rolet was over in Seattle, and somebody just shot him. Now, those are terrible things to start off with. But anyway, it's a serious thing to be disrespectful and to disobey. God wants us to be obedient children. I didn't plan to start the meeting with that kind of sad story. Does anybody have a cheerful song for us, please? What about you girls here? Go ahead. Number three. It's a lovely hymn. Number three.
My hope on nothing left is still.
Christ the solid rock I stand.
Father. Thank you for these dear children. Just a few, but how precious they are, God. We just pray for them, each one. Speak to their hearts and give them a sense of thy love and care. So help us as we talk about some of thy creatures, the animals, and may we derive the lessons from them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now I have a question. Do you have a kitty?
No.
Do you have a doggy?
No.
No deaths, no pets. That's the easiest way through life. Do you have a kitty?
No.
A doggy?
Yes.
What's your doggy's name?
Rico and Max.
Okay. Do you have a doggy?
Yeah.
What's his name? Their name?
Alara and Rico.
And what's your doggy's name? What's your doggy's name?
I don't have a dog.
Neither do I. Well, I wanted to talk about animals. You know, if you look in the scriptures, children, you'll find out that the Bible is full of animals, right from the first chapter of Genesis right through to the book of Revelation. And so God has many things to teach us about animals. And we'd like to talk about them this morning. The first experience I had with animals was on the banks of the Zambezi River. I was 4 years old, and yesterday, you know, we're in the meeting, the dear brother was speaking about baptism. That's when someone gets put down under the water, then brought up out of the water. It's a picture of dead, buried with Christ, and raised with Him. Okay? Now, here you had a picture, a river flowing by. It's called the Zambezi River. And then here's a shore right here. Okay? And then out in the water, there's some sticks sticking in. Sticks. Stick, 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 around like that. And outside there is a man in a canoe with a big long spear. Over here is a man in a canoe with a big long spear. What do you think they were going to do inside that circle of sticks that were sticking up? And what do you think those men were standing out there in the canoes with these big long spears? Can anybody guess? How about this girl right here? Well, the river was full of crocodiles, and so my dad, he was going to baptize some African Christians, and they wanted to be protected from the crocodiles. So I remember standing there 4 years old and seeing these men with spears and this fence like that, and the baptism was going on inside there where they're protected. Now, that's a real picture of death, isn't it? The river there, the water. Yeah. And so the Bible talks about crocodiles. I think there's crocodiles in the book of Job. But it has so many stories. Can you children tell me any animal that you know about in the Bible? What animal did you, Mom and Dad, read to you about in the Bible? Name any of them. Oh, here's one.
A lion.
A lion? Is that what you said? Well, you're so right. What animal do you hear about in the Bible? Did your mommy ever read you a story about, what about you?
Donkey.
What story do you know about in the Bible about an animal?
Sheep.
Sheep. Oh, yes. What about you? You know of any animals?
Bears.
A what?
Bear.
A bear? Yes. Yes, bears. David had an encounter with a bear. Well, so some of these animals, they're to teach us lessons. Some are to help us. Yeah. Some are to protect us. Some are for our food. I don't like that idea very well. But some are a friend when we need a friend. I go into a nursing home and you'll see a kitty or you'll see a little puppy or something. Matter of fact, Mike O'Brien, some of you know Mike O'Brien, he's on a wheelchair and he's in that bed that he stays. Can't do anything. One day a dog came to his house. He didn't know where it came from. It came right in the door, and it came and it jumped right up on his lap. You know, Mike sits there hour after hour after day after day after month year after year, and he can't do nothing. But this little dog came in, jumped up on his lap, and they said, well, where'd this dog come from? Don't know. Don't know. So he went looking around for what kind of a dog is it, where'd it come from? Couldn't find out. I kind of think the Lord sent that little dog along just to comfort Mike O'Brien. Isn't that sweet? Now, can anybody tell me about a dog that comforted somebody in the Bible? Go ahead, young or old. Let's hear it.
Lazarus.
That's what I was thinking of. Here's poor Lazarus. He's sitting at a gate there. He's got these sores on his body. He's begging for money. I see beggars. But the beggars I see don't have sores. This man was a beggar, and he had sores, and he was sitting there by a beautiful gate. And you know what? The dogs came and licked his sores. Was that nice, you think? Yeah, I do too. That was comforting, that man. Well, so we can't talk too long on this, so we've got to get down to the meat of the matter. That is, there's some animals that are big, some are small, some are strong, some are weak, some are wild, some are beautiful, some are gentle, some are fearless, some are harmless, some are harmful. Which one is stupid? Ooh, God says so. Can anybody tell me which one is, doesn't have any wisdom? You'd know, of course. What? I didn't exactly say that.
Ostrich.
Did you say ostrich? Yes. Yes, the ostrich, God says in the book of Job, God hath withheld wisdom from them. Yeah. You just don't have very many brights at all. Well, so, there's some that are wise. That's what we're getting to. What animal or creature does God say is wise? Well, we're going to go to the kids here. Can you tell me an animal that's wise? Well, we better look it up. That's Proverbs chapter 30. I talked about this last week in Walla Walla, so those brothers will have to, sisters will have to have patience with me there. It's such a wonderful, instructive chapter. God says some of his animals are, one of his animals are dumb, and some are smart. What do you think would be better, to be smart or to be wise? Huh? I think it'd be better to be wise than smart. Okay, Proverbs chapter 30. And it says here, verse 24, there's some little things. God can teach us about wisdom, little things. And what do you think those little things are? The ants. Oops, verse 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are extremely, exceedingly wise. Now, how can that be? I thought people and things that were wise were in the universities and the colleges of this world that I didn't go to. And it says here they're very wise, but you know something? You can take a man. I was talking to a man in a swimming pool. He was a concert pianist, conservatory in Toronto, Canada. He was retired, and he was in the swimming pool. And I was talking to him, and I said, sir, you ever think about where you go when you leave this world? He says, I just go. That's what he said. No, I didn't take time to tell him the gospel. Should have, maybe. Sure, I should have. But you know, it says, after death, the judgment. So, here's... Well, let me ask you a question. Where do you go after you die. Do you know?
Hell.
Go to hell? Is that what you said? Is that what you said? Well, you know something? If someone doesn't take the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that's where they go. That's where they go. But if somebody takes the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, where do they go?
In heaven.
With the Lord Jesus in heaven. That's a beautiful thing to think about. Well, here we have, can you imagine a little ant, a little tiny ant, smarter than a college professor? And I'll tell you why. That little ant, in the summertime, he goes crawling out looking for something. What do you think he's looking for? For what? Food? Exactly right. Now, what does he do with that food? He said, bless your heart. Yeah. Well, how do you answer that? My dear, he takes that food and he drags it down into his little house in the ground, doesn't he? Huh? And he stores it up down there. Very, very wise. Now, this professor, concert pianist that I was talking to, he didn't have anything laid up for the future. Didn't seem like. He just said he was going to go off. That's all he knew. Well, those are the ants. They're little. They prepare their meat, their food, in the summertime. You know, children, when you hear the gospel, it's like you're getting your spiritual food while you can in the summertime. You can hear about the Lord Jesus, His love, His kindness, the fact that He died for you on the cross. He loves you, and He wants to save you. And when you accept Him, that's like taking that eternal bread from heaven, and you're hiding it in your heart. Oh my, what a story that is, huh? The conies. Let's just call that a rabbit. I don't know what a coney is. I suppose there are different kind of animals all around the world that look about the same, that make their houses in the rocks. You go to Mount Rainier, and there's an animal about this long, maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet long, and if you're driving along, he runs in the rock. Now, I have a question, children. If you see this, let's call it a rabbit. If you see this rabbit, and you're driving along in your great big car, and the rabbit's in the road, and he thinks he's going to get run over, and so he runs into the culvert, he runs into a rock, runs into a hole in the ground or something. Is he safe? Yes, he's safe. Why? Because that rock that he ran into is stronger than my car or stronger than a truck. Can you imagine a weak little bunny rabbit or a coney running into a rock and becoming extremely safe? Yes, that's a picture of running into the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we become very, very safe. That's a beautiful illustration of the goodness of God in giving us a refuge. So even though these conies are feeble, they don't have any strength in themselves. I got some cottontail rabbits that run around in my yard. They're weak little things. I could step on them and hurt them, but they run, they hide, they get in a place that's safe. And you children, because there's judgment coming, you children can run to the Lord Jesus and be safe. Isn't that nice? Now we get down here to these grasshoppers. I suppose that's a locust, probably kind of like a grasshopper, don't you think? And so they go forth. They have no king. Nobody leads them. Nobody guides them. Or really? Is that the case? It looks like nobody guides them. They have no king. Yet go they forth, all of them by bands. And you know, in the last 3 weeks, I've had the privilege of visiting four or five assemblies. And I just think of these saints, they get together in bands. And you look for the leader. There isn't any. The Lord Jesus is their leader. He's not visible. He's up in heaven, and He guides them. and he leads them along, and they appreciate one another, and they appreciate their unseen leader, and they're guided by him. Well, a spider. You know, I was in Bermuda one time, and there was a spider walking across the floor, and I took my shoe and I went bang like that. And what happened? I looked real carefully, and little tiny white spiders, hundreds of them, that was a mommy spider, and she was about to give birth to a bunch of little baby spiders, and there were, looked like 100 little spiders. I had to look real carefully. Very tiny little spiders. You see, they were running all over the place. Well, what's it say here? The spider taketh hold with her hands. And what is in king's palaces? So, I like to think of it this way, children. Let's just pretend like this is the throne right here. Right here. That's the throne. And here's the, in this case, it's kind of a brown carpet. Let's say it's a beautiful red carpet like this. And at the door, there are some guards there with their great big guns and bayonets. One over here and one over here. And they're standing there with their big black boots on. And here comes a little spider. Now, how is that spider going to get by all those guards and through that door and everything? Well, the only way it can make it through is by being very small. Very small. A little tiny spider can go right by those big black boots, go slip right underneath that door, walk right up that red carpet like this. What does the Bible say here? Let's see what it says. It says, a spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Is that possible? Do you think there's ever been a spider on a king's throne? Or a queen's throne? I'm sure there has been. And so the little spider comes right up like that and comes right up the steps and sits right there on that throne. And you know something, children? You become little in your eyes, and just ask the Lord to help you be humble. It says humble yourself. Don't ask the Lord to humble you. Just say humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll lift you up. He'll lift you up. And so, children, we have to realize that we have something inside of us that wants to be proud. Now, children your age are not that proud. When you get old like me, you get very proud. You should hear me talk about my grandchildren. It's terrible. Anyway, it's true. So you understand, we just get proud. And so what we don't want to be proud, we want to be thankful, and we want to be small so that God can bring us into blessing. He whittles us down into a useful size for him. So, four things. It only takes about 4 minutes to talk about these four things. And they're the ants. They're extremely wise, God says. You mean an ant can be smarter than the brightest man in the university? Well, I got a better story. It goes like this. Eastern Washington, there was a president of a university. I can't give you the name anymore because I forgot. He was over 80 years of age. He's retired, and he was sitting in the university there, and he was reading his, what? Bible. He was reading his Bible. He loved the Lord Jesus. And so there he was, retired. This man was a child of God, even though he was a very brilliant man. And so in walked a man, and he walked down the hall to where his child was in a little nursery right there in the same building. And there was a little 4-year-old child in there, his child. And there was a lady or a man talking to these children about the Lord Jesus from the Bible. And so the father went in to pick up his little 4-year-old girl, I think it was, and she said when she saw her daddy, she said, "Daddy, I don't want to go because the teacher's telling me stories about the Bible." Wait a minute. Here you have a man that's over 80 years old in this end of the building, and you have a little girl over here, I think it was a little girl over here that's 4 years old in this side of the building, and they're reading the same book. Whatever. That's exciting because, you know, if you were handing me a book from the university about linear physics or whatever, geometry, whatever that stuff is, I wouldn't know what it was about. And you wouldn't know what it's about for sure. But here's a book, children, that 100-year-old, I know a lady is 105 years old, she reads that book. And then I know children that 5, 6, 7 years old read that book. Same book. And you know, one will be reading the story about Balaam's ass or the rooster that crowed when Peter denied the Lord. And a 4-year-old will be reading it and interested, and an 84-year-old or a 104-year-old lady will be reading the same book, the same story. Isn't that amazing? This book takes care of everything, children. I'll give you an example for the old folks to think about. They discovered in recent years that the universe is expanding. Expanding, that means it's going away like this. Well, you read over and over and over in the scripture that God stretched out the heavens. Isn't that interesting? So, and we find out the circle of the earth. It's wonderful how God has told us so many things. But he brings it down to where a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old can read it, enjoy it, and somebody that's 10 times older, 20 times older, can read the same book and enjoy it. That's what's so beautiful about the Bible. So, you can ask your mommy and daddy anytime, say, tell me an animal story in the Bible. And then when you read the story, you'll find out that there's an illustration, a story that goes along with it. Now, can anybody tell me about a sheep? Does the Bible talk about sheep? Sure it does. Okay, yeah. So, a sheep is like a person, is like we are. And you know what sheep do sometimes? They go astray. They go away. And that's too bad. And so they need a shepherd. And so the Lord Jesus is our shepherd. So as you children get older, look in the Bible for Bible stories about animals, and they'll all teach you a story, teach you a lesson. All right. Elijah, he had birds take care of him. Noah, he had all kinds of animals in his boat. And there was a dove and a raven that was sent out. You children hear that story? See, all these stories are so interesting. And then you got all those dogs down there in Egypt when the children of Israel were leaving. God shut their mouths. Couldn't bark. Balaam had a donkey that started talking. You think about it. It's interesting there, isn't it? Yeah. Peter had that rooster that crowed. So the Bible is full of animal stories, and they're very, very profitable. And then we just want to thank the Lord for this book we have. It's good for a 4-year-old. It's good for a 104-year-old. There's no book like that in the world because it's the Word of God. Now, children, you know how to be saved. That's why we're here. Your mommy and daddy told you how to be saved. It is so wonderful. Can a 4-year-old be saved? How do you do that? How would a 4-year-old get saved? Can you tell me? The microphone's a little intimidating. Can you tell me how a 4-year-old could get saved?
Trust in Jesus.
Trust. Oh, it's so precious. Yes, just trust. That's called faith. And it's like God gives you something. God gives you something that is beautiful and pure. It's called eternal life. And you know something? You don't want to add anything to it. If you want to add your works to it, then God says, I've got nothing for you, nothing. But if you want to come like a 4-year-old child and just reach out by faith and say, Lord Jesus, save my soul, he'll do it. Isn't that beautiful? So we come to know the Lord, and we just want to leave you with these few thoughts about these animals, some big, some small, some weak, some wild, some beautiful, some gentle, some fearless, some fearful, some harmless, some harmful, some not smart. But we read this morning about four wise animals, or creatures of God. Now, who has a song to sing? Anybody? What do you want for? Oh, I love it. There once was a wild little donkey. Does that fit in with the story we've been talking about this morning? Yes, it does. Thank you very much. I needed that help. There once was a wild little donkey.
He had to be tied to a tree. And Jesus was thinking about him. He said, go and bring him to me. And when they had brought him to Jesus,
gospel to the children. That's such a precious thing. When we present the Lord Jesus to the children in all of his glory and his beauty, that's a precious thing. We present the Lord Jesus to the lost. Oh, that's a wonderful thing also. They can hear the good news of salvation, and it glorifies God the Father. When we present the Lord Jesus to one another, that's a beautiful thing also. But you know what's the most beautiful thing of all? When we present the Lord Jesus in all of his glory and all of his beauty and all of his excellencies unto God his Father, that's worship. It's not playing a beautiful violin. It's playing How Great Thou Art. That's not exactly it. It's beautiful to sing and all that, but presenting the Lord Jesus in all of his glory, virtue, loveliness to God the Father, that's worship. And that's what we're going to do here in about 45 minutes or so. So children, Lord bless you, everyone.